Ooh, it works. Okay. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for coming. 5 o'clock, right before the Bon Jovi concert. It's not every day a girl gets to open for Bon Jovi. It's quite a thrill, quite a thrill. Told all my family and friends. It's all over Facebook. So knowing that the concert is tonight, I think I can knock this out in like 30, 35 minutes. I'm going to try to, keep it brief to give you all time to go back to your rooms, prepare for the concert, get out there. I know there's kind of limited availability out on the beach, so you're going to want to get there early. For the next 35 minutes or so, I'm going to be talking through a case study from Kraft Foods on how we initially rolled out SharePoint and some missteps and pitfalls that we encountered in the beginning, and some steps that we took to increase user adoption, particularly in the brand management space. But first, I'll introduce myself. My name is Kathleen Kyes. My professional career spans a couple of decades now. I launched my career in consumer packaged goods with Kraft a long, long time ago. Started out in marketing research, had a lot of different roles in, as an analyst and consumer insights. And then I left Kraft for about 10 years. And I went to Nielsen Corporation, where I led a decision management team and assisted with consulting services, analytics for consumer packaged goods clients. I also spent a little time in business planning at Nielsen. And then, as a complete departure, I switched over to the financial services industry for about 7 years. I worked for Citigroup and launched their direct marketing area, their reporting and custom analytics group. So I've been back at Kraft now for about 5.5 years, and I've been working in collaboration, knowledge management, and social media. So let's see. There we go. Okay, so for those of you who are not aware, Kraft has gone through a big change this year. We went from being a very large global company to, and we separated into two companies. So we still have a global company called Mondelēz International, and then the Kraft Foods Group, which is now a North American business. So I have stayed on the Kraft Foods Group side, still a large company generating $19 billion of revenue and employing about 25,000 people in the United States and Canada. We are the fourth largest player in North American food and beverages. And you probably recognize some of our iconic brands, hopefully from your home pantry or your refrigerator. And hopefully you'll consider some of these fine products as you're planning your Thanksgiving meals next week. So as we launched our new powerhouse company, we redefined our core values as winning together, keeping it simple. We inspire trust and making tough choices, which ultimately culminates in making Kraft the North American food and beverage company. Okay, so switching gears into our SharePoint journey. The Kraft journey with SharePoint began with the rollout of SharePoint 2001, and then we migrated to 2003, and then to 2007, and we still have an on-prem 2007 environment today. We also have a 2010 on-prem environment, and we have Office 365D in the cloud. So we are getting very, very good at migrations. But looking back at our first foray into the knowledge management space and the beginning stages of collaboration, we had some missteps in the beginning that gave us some really great learnings and some opportunity for improvement. Essentially, when we launched the platform, I would say that we did it with kind of a do-it-yourself approach, where we created a template and we had a team site that had like 10,000 zillion links on it, that if you clicked through all of them and you read all the materials, you too could create a team site. And needless to say, that approach was not widely embraced. And the unintended consequence was that, you know, within the organization, SharePoint actually kind of had a negative connotation of, you know, being really difficult to use. So when we migrated to 2007, we decided to try a different approach. And we decided that we would offer assistance to our business clients. And we'd help them create their sites. And I would describe back then the assistance that we provided was kind of lower level, you know, the enthusiast type of level, but it was still a step in the right direction. We were still depending on, you know, going out to the internet and grabbing design elements and throwing it on a fairly templated page, that sort of thing. But we did actually see user adoption increase even doing something as simple as that. So it was a step in the right direction. And what we learned is that the visual experience was important in order to increase user adoption. We are a marketing company, so we have a lot of folks who work in the business who are very visual people. And the expectation that they had was that when they came to work, they wanted to have a similar experience to what they had when they were at home using the web. So that doesn't sound, you know, terribly revolutionary now, but at the time, it was a big aha moment for us. So a shining example from that era at Kraft is this site here. This is our knowledge management portal that was created for our consumer insights and strategy group. And that's essentially our marketing research area. It was a global team, and they spend a lot of money on focus groups and studies and custom analytics. So they really understood the importance of making sure that that information was readily available to share across the enterprise. Because what would happen is if they couldn't find studies, oftentimes they would pay to produce the same study over again. So we wanted to avoid that kind of duplicate spend. So it was really the perfect use case for creating a collaboration community. And when we launched the CIS portal, and this is what it looked like back then, pretty simple, and this is really the portal that led us on the path to where we are today with SharePoint. We used blogs and wikis. We had the real-time buzz web part. There's even a tag cloud in there. And from here, we decided that it was probably worth taking a bigger step and a bigger leap in this space. So what we decided to do is we decided to hire a team of developers that were offshore and also some designers. So with, you know, a higher skilled resource to help us continue down this path in creating team sites for our business community. So we went from a site that looks like this to one that looks like this for the Consumer Insight and Strategy Group. And at the time, you know, this was actually fairly revolutionary for our user communities. And it gave us the confidence to start actively marketing this service across the rest of the business. And in the beginning, we made a lot of headway in our marketing services area at Kraft, which is essentially a centralized function that provides services to all the business units. So all the brands were their internal customers. So areas like marketing research, Hispanic marketing, design, innovation, packaging, all of those areas operated from the center. And they were great candidates for this type of service because it gave them a hub where they could advertise their services to the rest of the business. They could distribute communications, process documents if they had it. They had templates. They could, if teams needed help, they could go to the site to request help and request access to their services. So one of our first offerings in that space was an internal marketing campaign that we called Spread the Word. So this is a SharePoint site, and it was part of a larger campaign that we had an email campaign that went out to all North American employees that linked back to this site. And from this site, employees could print coupons. They could forward offers to friends and family. And this was to build awareness for new product launches. So the two sites that I've shown you are from the centralized services at Kraft. We also created many sites for the areas that predict future trends and many of the other marketing services areas as well. But the question that came next was, you know, we had great penetration within the marketing services area, but was there a business challenge or a way that we could help the business by leveraging this technology? And at the time, we didn't have a great relationship with our brand management teams. Particularly prior to the company separation, we were a huge, huge global company. And we had, you know, well over 100 brands. And my team, including me, consisted of 3 people. So we just really didn't know where to start. So what we did is we kind of drew a line in the sand, and we went after what Kraft calls their big bet initiatives. So a big bet initiative at Kraft essentially is a new product launch. You can think of it as a new product launch. And I work out of the Chicago office, and when we were doing this, a lot of the big bets were owned off on the East Coast. So I went out to the New Jersey office, our New Jersey office, and met with some of the big bet business owners to kind of pitch this idea and talk about, you know, if we had, if SharePoint could help them as they were launching their new products. And I had also set up a meeting with another senior brand manager out there who I was working on. I was working with on something else. He didn't own a big bet. But he had been around Kraft a while. He was working on a smaller brand at the time. But I also connected with him while I was out there. And it was kind of interesting, because what I learned is when you're deemed a big bet at Kraft, you have all the resource that you need to launch your product. And essentially, a product launch is kind of like a project. You know, there's kind of a start date. There's an end date with the launch. If it's successful, it'll be integrated into the overall operations of the business unit. But the one thing that big bet owners didn't have was a lot of time to sit down and really think this through and dedicate time to using SharePoint to help them with that project. But it was the meeting that I set up with the senior brand manager who was working on the smaller brand that ended up being the most insightful. I explained to him why we were out there, what we were trying to accomplish, and he said, you know what would really help us? And he went on to explain that the typical brand manager at Kraft is in an assignment for about 12 to 18 months before they move on to their next assignment. And they struggle because there's a lot of information within the organization, but we haven't been terribly deliberate in our information management practices. We've given employees lots of choices, lots and lots of choices on where they can store information, but it's not consistent across the board. So there are a lot of paper files. There's a lot of information stored in file and print servers, in personal emails, and what I would call like single-use team sites. So, you know, not everybody would have access to each site. They were disjointed. Sometimes you didn't even know that that site existed. So information was kind of scattered all over the place, making the learning curve incredibly high every time a brand manager moved from one assignment to the next. So that was some great, great insight. And it got us thinking about, you know, how can we leverage SharePoint to create a consistent look and feel and a site where people can manage all of their information that they need for their brands. So we went from offering assistance on the big bets, we changed course and decided to focus on noodling a way to figure out how to help the business operate more efficiently. Excuse me. So when we got back to Chicago, gotta do this in 2 places. Here we go. When we got back to Chicago, we decided to vet this idea with some of the other brand teams, and we did hear consistent stories across the board. I met with the senior brand manager of the Philadelphia cream cheese business, and he had been around Kraft a while, and he told me that he was really, really excited that he was sitting in this office where all of the senior brand managers before him who worked on Philly had sat, because he had all the paper files that he needed in his file cabinets to run the business. But he did also confirm, I started to call it the Magic Philly office, but he did confirm for us that there was information scattered all over in, on, you know, their team iDrive and single-use team sites, emails, and that the learning curve was very high. I also spoke with someone who was a new employee. So she was brought into the company to run the Jell-O brand. And she told stories about spending long hours, evenings and weekends, just trying to find the information she needed to get up to speed on Jell-O. In addition to that, They had decided on the Jell-O brand to switch advertising agencies. So a lot of our agencies held on to our digital assets at the time. We didn't have them. We didn't have control over them. So when they switched to a new advertising agency, they actually lost access to many of the assets they had already invested in, resulting in, you know, having to recreate those assets with the new firm. So we heard similar stories across all brand management professionals at Kraft that really justified and validated the need for what turned into the brand portal. So we sat and started to think about, you know, how can we design a site that would be helpful to the business users? So I don't have great design skills, so I used PowerPoint, and I essentially created like a wireframe, and I modeled it after what Facebook looked like at the time. Because back then, that was probably the one place that everybody was in Facebook, everybody was using it. And knowing that this technology was still a little intimidating to folks, I thought that if we kind of kept it looking a little bit like Facebook, that would be a little less daunting, a little less intimidating, and hopefully a little more comfortable place for folks to start. So I sent my very crude PowerPoint design document to my design team in India, and they came back with this initial concept. And so from here, I took this back to the Philadelphia cream cheese leadership team. I think they gave me about 30 minutes on their leadership team agenda to showcase this idea, just to see if it had legs, see if they had any interest in pursuing it. And when I showed this concept, I think I was done in 10 minutes. They totally got it. They got it very quickly, and they totally understood the direction that we wanted to head, and thought it would be a great way to start operating going forward. And part of the sales pitch as well was that, you know, if we invest this time while they're working on Philadelphia cream cheese, and we create the similar look and feel — I try not to use the word template with marketing — with other brands, with all the other brands across the organization, they could kind of start to see themselves unplugging from the Philadelphia brand. And if they moved on to Planters as their next assignment, they could plug into that community, and they'd be able to navigate it and find the information that they needed a lot easier than they could in the past, flattening that learning curve and helping them make an impact very quickly before they moved on to their next assignment, which would have been, you know, within this 12 to 18 month time frame. So we tried to create some strategy and requirement documents, but we kept it really, really simple. So I'll show you. There's like 3 pages. It's very, very simple. We tried to keep momentum going and not bog down the process with too much rigid process. So the brand team came back, and they basically said that their objective in creating these sites was to build brand-specific digital communities to enable a more collaborative environment within the cheese business unit. So starting with Philly, but then branching out across all of the other brands within the business unit. And they wanted this to be a one-stop shop for all of their brand intelligence. They wanted to create workspaces for real-time collaboration. They wanted to let their external agency and vendor partners into the environment, but in a controlled manner. They didn't want them to see everything, because this was going to be, you know, very material brand information that would be housed in this area. They wanted to operate within a digital community. And they wanted this to be kind of the place where they lived, right? So they wanted links to relevant internal information and external information as well. And also having their digital assets at their fingertips, so they were no longer housed with an external agency. And then, of course, with the thought to the future of the typical brand manager changing jobs every 12 to 18 months, we wanted to keep churning these out across all the brand teams so that the investment that they made up front would pay off as they moved throughout their careers. So again, their definition of what success looked like was to create a useful, user-friendly, one-stop shop for all their Philly brand assets, consumer knowledge, project information, their business results, and strategic vision. And just pulling a couple of points off the page, They wanted to make sure that this became everybody's homepage, so they constantly lived in this space. And they wanted it to be the go-to resource that was dependable for all the latest brand information. Because I think we all know we can create pretty team sites, but if the content gets stale, no one's going to come back. So this was actually what we used for our detailed requirement gathering, just a very, very simple spreadsheet. So the clients would just outline the tab names that they wanted across the top. We wanted them to think about and define what the purpose of the tab was, how much history they wanted to retain, because one thing we learned with our file and print environment is that this environment can grow out of control if you allow it to. So we wanted to define upfront how much information they needed to retain and when it was appropriate to start working that information out of the environment. They named the key stakeholders. So those were the areas that were responsible for populating each tab. The brand managers are dependent on many, many different areas and lots of information that they have to synthesize in order to run their brand. And then the bottom part was just examples of documents that would live in that site. Oops. There we go. Okay, so here's some screen captures of some of the brand portals that we delivered to the business. This is a more recent shot of Philadelphia. So this is where it kind of landed, a little bit different from the concept. So you can see at the top all the tabs that the business defined with their requirements spreadsheet. Philly's a global brand, so they also have a tab where they want all of their global counterparts to come in and to collaborate. In the middle, we created an RSS feed from the corporate intranet, so kind of going back to the idea that this is where they would live day in and day out. We didn't want them to have to navigate off the page in order to get corporate news. It was also very important that they had the latest documents available to them and that they could click right into them off of the homepage. And as they fall off of the list, then they can always get to them and navigate to them from each tab. The section on the left has links to all of their external social presence, their spreadphilly.com site and their Real Women of Philly page, their Facebook presence, their YouTube, and their Twitter. And then right below are employee links. So we had information that they need as a professional working on Philadelphia, but they also have links that every craft employee would need to manage their benefits, pay invoices, file a T&E report, that sort of thing. And then performance reports at the bottom was very important to them that we put it on the front page. And then up on the right-hand side, one of the biggest complaints that we would get is folks would tell us that it was really hard to upload a document to SharePoint. So we wanted to make it very, very clear where to go to upload a document. So we tried to make a nice big button for them that they can push, and then they would walk through a screen that would actually, they would choose the tab that it would need to be stored under, and it would just magically appear there, and they didn't have to navigate too much to upload a document. And then they have their team calendar and then their team contacts, both inside craft and outside of craft. Okay, so this is the Planters brand portal. So after the Philly portal, we moved on and started to work on other brands. And again, you can kind of see what we were talking about in keeping the look and feel consistent. And I think you can see, I mean, this isn't exactly the same as the Philly portal, but it's very similar. So I think you can kind of imagine yourself unplugging from one, plugging into the other, and you could tell pretty quickly how to navigate it. So if you understood how to use the Philly portal, you could easily get up to speed if you were then put on the Planters brand. So they had asked for, they had more internal tools and applications that they had asked for with links on the left. But they have their social media presence and team calendar, similar to the other one. The corporate news is actually up there, too. I just didn't collapse it. This team also started to use microblogging. So I tried to make that a little bit more prevalent on this page so you could see it. That is their NewsGator web part that we put right on the front page to help with some of the real-time collaboration. And then with digital asset management, under the Consumer Touchpoints tab is the link to digital assets. So from the brand portal page, we filter the digital assets on that brand. So in this case, it would be planters. But this is the Autonomy Media Bin tool that we use. We don't store these assets on premise. We don't store it in SharePoint. It's all within Autonomy. Software as a service. So what you're looking at now, this is just a quick shot of some archived planters print ads, I believe. But within here, we also have videos, logos, recipes, any if they have radio spots, any collateral that they have associated with the brand. And when they're in here, if they did want to go and search and look for Jell-O or Lunchables or one of our other brands, they could do that. But we just, going straight off the page, we try to keep it specific to the brand. So going a little bit faster now, I think you get the idea. So this is the Jell-O site that we created. Again, it's very similar look and feel to the initial Philly. Velveeta and Parm, those are two brands that are managed together by the same team. So we kept their assets together. And then the last one that I'll show you is the beverages portals. So when Kraft did announce that we were separating the company, we also announced that the beverages business unit was going to be relocating from Tarrytown, New York to Chicago. So earlier this year, we had a bit of a fire drill because we had quite a few employees who were asked to move to Chicago, but you know, I think we all understand you can't always relocate. So we knew that we were going to be losing a lot of intelligence and resources on that were working on these brands. So we were asked to create, I think, 14 brand portals very, very quickly in order to help retain as much information as we possibly could. So as the folks working on these brands today went on to new endeavors and we hired new folks to take over these brands in Chicago, they would have as much information as possible to keep the brands running. So we created this splash page that has, you know, a little information on the move and then it opens up to all of the brand pages. So we kept these a little bit, we had to keep the look and feel a little more similar because we had to create so many so quickly. But this is the Kool-Aid page. So you can see how we were able to keep all of the, we still were able to keep the feel, look and feel very similar. And then as the new brand teams are hired and start managing the business, if they want to make modifications in the future, they can certainly do that. But at least all the base information is there as the brand moves to Chicago. Okay, so that's the last site that I'm showing. But I think, you know, kind of in summary, I think you get the look and the idea of keeping the look and feel similar. So as brand managers are moving along the course of their career and changing assignments every 12 to 18 months, they're going to be able to go into these brand portals and navigate them quickly, get the information that they need quickly to get up to speed. And we've used the same concept for some of our retail partners as well. We're letting them in through the business partner sites. So we actually have some collaboration going on with Target and some of our other retailers where they're coming in and directly collaborating with their Kraft sales counterparts to help them run the business. And I would say too, just it's going across even outside of sales and marketing as well. We are getting the demand for this type of work continues to increase. User adoption continues to increase. Employees are really understanding and seeing the benefit of keeping all of their information in one place instead of, you know, the past where we had it scattered all over. It's making it a lot more efficient for the company overall. Okay. Does anybody have any questions? before we all go to the concert. Did you have a question? Yes. There is the corporate intranet, and on most of our pages, we actually take a feed straight out of the corporate intranet, so they're getting that information right on their brand portal page. They're not directly attached to the brand portals, but they can create their own sites. So if they had a project that they were managing, or if they wanted to manage team meetings or that sort of thing, they can create their own sites as well. They aren't typically this pretty, but they can do it. I think we have like 6,500 sites just in the craft business. The total company before we separated had closer to 15,000 sites. You know, it's part of its change management, right? In training folks, and so they understand what the expectation is of where they're supposed to store information. So does it stop them? No. They could still do it, but they've now been trained that's not the way we're going to operate going forward, where they're just going to spring up with a site here and there for a single purpose. Yes. In this case, yes. Yes. We do have enterprise search as well, but we actually try to put search scopes in so they can search just that site. Anything else? Yes? You know, I won't say that they're going down to the dollar, but conceptually what they do talk about is not, you know, just not having to recreate assets that they've already invested in. That's always been a big focus. So that's in the advertising space, in the digital space, and also in the research space, because we know that there was a significant portion of the budget that was kind of being wasted in creating duplicate assets. But do I know, like, down, you know, it's a touchy subject. You know, we've had the conversations and conceptually everybody agrees, but it's hard to get somebody to, you know, almost admit that, yeah, I've been, whoops, sorry, Clint, but, you know, it's hard to get people to admit, yeah, I spent an extra $100,000 last year on an asset on accident. It's very hard to get people to really monetize that. It is a custom web part. It's from Autonomy. I don't know. I think it's widely available. I think you could, you know, you could go and, you know, work with them and get the same thing. But yeah, it's from Autonomy Media Bin. Mm-hmm. Yes? You know, it's multiple people. So like when you think back to the spreadsheet where we had people assigned to kind of each tab, There are many different functional areas that contribute to, you know, running an overall brand. So they're all responsible for their tab and keeping their content up to date. So it's multiple people. Yes? They're in the cloud. They started out on premise, but we moved them up. Mm-hmm. Yes? Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Now, when we let external partners in, they're usually limited to like a tab. You know, we can't give them full access because we've got all that information out there. So yeah, so they can't have that. So they're limited in what they can see, but they can get in. So at least there's a space where they can do that collaboration. Mm-hmm. No, it's the brand team. They are responsible for that themselves. So not the technical team. We can help, you know, we'll help them with training and that sort of thing, but it's up to the content owners to keep all that sorted out. And it's been a challenge now that we've separated because there are a lot of people who have moved into new roles. So one of the, you know, I'm getting a lot of requests for help because people need training now to get up to speed because they're now responsible for that work that they weren't responsible for in the past. But it'll come. Anybody else? All right, thank you all very, very much.